Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is the radio ministry of the Christian Research Institute, designed to equip believers to defend their faith and become true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us on the internet at equip.org. If you'd like to ask Hank a question, then call in now. Just dial 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And as always, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. I want to start the broadcast today with something deeply personal. I don't like to talk about myself on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. I think there are more interesting people to talk about. But through the Christian Research Institute staff and through friends, I've become aware of chatter on the internet, the gist of which is that, well, that I've walked away from the Christian faith. Amid Holy Week, I pray that those that are forwarding this notion may have an ever deeper encounter with our crucified and resurrected Lord. And may they and their loved ones be blessed and their faith strengthened. And by the way, if I have caused any to stumble, I humbly ask forgiveness. My purpose in reading this, which is a post that is now on our website, is not so much to respond to anyone, but to reassure, as I have never been more in love with my wife and family, so too I have never been more deeply in love with the Lord Jesus Christ and with His body, the church. And in that vein, let me make some statements. I confess my faith in the deity of Jesus Christ. He is the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all ages, as the Creed tells us, light of light, true God of true God, begotten, not created, of one essence with the Father, through whom all things were made. I affirm the doctrine of original sin, that sin, as Romans 5 tells us, entered the world through one man and death through sin. And in this way, death came to all people because all sinned. I am deeply committed to the Church of the Living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth, as Paul says in 1 Timothy 3:15, and to the Holy Scriptures, the only infallible repository of redemptive revelation. I love the address. The first is 1 Timothy chapter 3, for those that have little memory hooks in their minds. The second is 2 Timothy chapter 3, 15 and 16. I furthermore love the Holy Trinity, one God revealed in three persons, eternally distinct. And I am deeply grateful that the true and living God invites us to participate in the loving relationships that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have enjoyed throughout eternity. I hold to the glorious reality that Jesus rose on the third day according to the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. I am grateful to the Lord Jesus who, for us and for our salvation, came down from heaven and was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary and became man. I thank God daily that I am a new creation in Christ, for by grace I have been saved through faith, and that not of myself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest I should boast. For as we are told by Paul in Ephesians chapter 2, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And finally, I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the age to come. Now, obviously, there are many secondary issues genuine believers will continue to debate this side of eternity. But I have and will always champion what C.S. Lewis called mere Christianity. Put another way, in essentials, unity, non-essentials, liberty, and in all things, charity. Now, this is not something that I want to deal with over and over again, and therefore I have posted this on the web. I appreciate news organizations from all around the world that are contacting me to do interviews with me. I have been struggling physically for quite some time now and trying to get to the bottom of that, and simply do not have the strength to engage in that during the remainder of Holy Week. I hope in the near future I will be able to be more accessible. That is my desire. I also want to start the broadcast by thanking many, many people, excuse me, who are CRI support team members. Today I've been personalizing many books for those who join CRI's monthly support team. I think of David in Massachusetts, is giving $25 a month, and Jack in Texas, $50 a month, Larry in California, $50 a month. And I could list many, many more, but I want to use the time for answering questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast again. Excuse me, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. First up is Sean. He's listening in Stanwood, Washington on the web. Hi, Sean.
Hi, Hank. My question is, well, a little background. I'm looking to join the Orthodox Church, and I'm leaving the Catholic Church, the Roman Catholic Church. But my wife is not convinced by the arguments against the papacy. And I was wondering if you could provide some evidence against the supremacy of the Pope and the infallibility of the Pope.
Well, you know, I don't hold to papal infallibility. I think, as others have said, the early church fathers, the patriarchs of the church, you might say about them that 100% of these early church fathers and patriarchs are right 80% of the time. This is not original with me, but I think the quip is very useful. But I think before I talk about Roman Catholicism at all, and I haven't done this as often as I should, but I ought to underscore the fact that some of the finest apologists in the Christian faith are Roman Catholic. I think about Dr. J. Richards or Dr. Frank Beckwith. Many others immediately come to mind. The list could take the rest of the program. But these are fine, fine men in terms of life and in terms of being genuine believers and defenders of the faith. The other thing I think that's important to recognize is that Roman Catholicism, like Orthodoxy, is not monolithic. And I think that is often lost in the discussion about either one of them. And of course, you could say that about Lutherans as well. I mean, you have the Missouri Synod Lutherans, you have the ELC. There are many varieties of Lutherans, and there are many varieties of Reformed. I personally grew up in the Christian Reformed Church. And given that there are certain differences that we keep in mind, what I have continued to forward on the broadcast is not meant to be demeaning. It is meant to simply forthrightly communicate major differences, and you mentioned one of them. I don't think that when the Pope speaks ex cathedra that he's infallible. Many Catholics do. And, you know, when the Pope spoke from St. Peter's chair and defined the Immaculate Conception, Orthodox people, of course, recoiled from that. I don't hold to purgatory. But I also think that it is wise for us to be charitable. In other words, Jesus said, you know, before we look at the speck in someone else's eye, let's look at the beam in our own eye. And you think about evangelical Christians, wonderful brothers and sisters in the Lord, many of whom are dear friends of mine, they will hold that there's going to be a millennial temple and Jesus is going to preside over that temple, and the sacrifices that he presides over are going to be efficacious for ceremonial uncleanness. Well, by logical extension, that seems to me to deny the sufficiency of Christ's atonement on the cross. But I think it would be less than charitable to draw everything out to its logical extension. And so I think in these discussions, there has to be, you know, light instead of heat. There has to be a collegiality that oftentimes is missing. And I will say, to the extent that I have not been humble and contrite in my own remarks, I would seek forgiveness as well. So what's the bottom line for me? The bottom line for me is that the Roman Catholic Church, and this is not a unique statement, it's something that I have said for many, many years, I think it is a truth church. I think it has significant error, which of course, as I just mentioned, could be said about other bodies of believers. But we also have to remember the incredible work that the Roman Catholic Church has done on common cause issues like abortion. Thank God for their unfailing stand in this regard. So if I were talking to your wife, first of all, I'd do it with gentleness and with respect. I wouldn't force anything upon your wife, but if you have the kind of relationship that my wife and I enjoy, now we can talk about these things. And I think the big thing you want to get straight in your conversation is that you're on the same page when it comes to essentials. Now, when I just made my statement at the beginning of the broadcast, that's what I attempted to do. I attempted to talk about essentials like the deity of Jesus Christ, original sin, the canon and the church, the Trinity and the resurrection, the incarnation and the fact that we are, as Paul puts it, new creations in Christ, and then the fact that Jesus Christ will come again. How the details unfold, there are discussions about that amongst Christians, but that's something we can debate vigorously. Iron sharpens iron. And so I've been very, very blessed by so many friends. I just thinking today, three or four dear friends who have huge churches and are some of the godliest, wisest men I have ever known called me just to encourage me and pray for me. And I thought, wow, what a beautiful privilege they have given to me. So again, what am I saying? I'm simply saying that perhaps we need to reinforce over and over again those words in 1 Peter 3:15. Let's do what we do with meekness and humility. You know, it's so easy sometimes, particularly in my case, I have been doing a show for many, many years, and you learn lots of stuff. And you learn how to turn the table and how to win the argument, but that's really not the goal. The goal is always to win a person. And again, not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. I'm going to leave it at that. So many people hanging on. We are coming up to station break. Do want to remind people that for those who join CRI's monthly support team, we have a special edition of the Christian Research Journal on its way to you. And so our way of simply saying thank you for standing shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. I simply could not do what I do here and around the world without you. And so I'm always grateful for those that say, I'm praying for you, and certainly deeply appreciative of those who support the ministry. And as I mentioned earlier, so many who have joined CRI's monthly support team. Well, we're coming to station break. We'll be back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. And do remember the statement that I just communicated to you at the opening of the broadcast, you can find on the web at equip.org. I hope it's helpful, particularly to those who might be stumbled by the allegation that I have walked away from the Christian faith. I most certainly have not. And we'll be back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So please don't touch that dial.
C.S. Lewis once said, "Good philosophy must exist, if for no other reason because bad philosophy needs to be answered." These words are more relevant than ever in our post-truth culture. The article, C.S. Lewis, Defender of the Faith by Donald T. Williams, shows why throwing down our weapons is betrayal in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal. To receive your copy of the current issue of the Christian Research Journal as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Stay tuned. Hank Hanegraaff will be back after the break. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day, or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. Those who do not remember the past are condemned to repeat it, and historical amnesia means certain death when moral truth is forgotten. The current issue of the Christian Research Journal examines C.S. Lewis's prophetic warning that the growing acceptance of moral subjectivism and the moral skepticism it breeds would lead to a pernicious moral and eugenic manipulation of humanity. If we are to forestall the nightmarish consequences of the death of truth, followers of Christ must reject ignorance and false knowledge and deliberately learn to speak and feel the truth of the natural moral law in love. To receive the current issue of the Christian Research Journal as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. From the outside, Houston preacher Joel Osteen is charming, attractive, and his teaching, well, it makes you feel good. But the truth is, Osteen preaches a seductive and highly dangerous form of Christianity that's leading millions of people astray. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has written a book called The Osteenification of American Christianity, and it's why you must get your own copy today. You must be able to defend yourself with truth about what Joel Osteen really teaches. And this important resource arms you with everything you need to do so. Please call today and request your copy of The Osteenification of American Christianity, 888-7000-CRI. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Thank you. Beware of false knowledge, said George Bernard Shaw. It is more dangerous than ignorance. In our increasingly secular and politically correct society, where fake knowledge has had a long-running start on fake news, the value we should place on knowing and speaking truth in love has never been greater. To equip you to know, feel, and speak truth in love, the current issue of the Christian Research Journal features a fresh look at the work of C.S. Lewis, one of the greatest Christian thinkers of the 20th century. To receive the current issue of the Christian Research Journal as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. And now let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And we'll rejoin our callers. Next up is Moses listening in Indianapolis, Indiana. Hi, Moses.
Hello, Hank. First of all, greetings on this great and holy day of Thursday.
Ah, yes.
And I would also like to offer my congratulations, my prayers, and my heartfelt thoughts on your being received into Holy Orthodoxy this past Palm Sunday. And I say welcome home to you, my brother. My question is this. When I was listening to an excerpt of your program, I believe a woman from Jerusalem who was questioning whether you had left the Christian faith, which clearly you have not. You've embraced the fullness of the Christian faith. You recited the creed. And at near the end of the creed, as we know, it says, recited one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church that I believe in. And unless I missed something, I believe that you left out Catholic, and I was wondering why, and if you could give us a brief explanation on what Catholic means. Thank you, Hank, and God bless you. Know that you're in my prayers.
Thank you so much, Moses. I want to, in the prologue to my answer to that question, first say that, let me underscore again that I hold to mere Christianity, in essentials unity, non-essentials liberty, all things charity. In terms of my recitation of the creed, I was embarrassed to say this, and I think I did say this on the Bible Answer Man broadcast sometime, I just can't remember when, in the last couple of weeks, that I had never memorized the Nicene Creed, kind of a huge neglect on my part. And so I was trying to catch up, as it were, and memorize the creed. And sometimes when you do that, you don't do it perfectly. So I was kind of in between reading the creed and trying to recite the creed. And I did neglect Catholic, but it was not intentional. I do believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. Now, Catholic has the connotation of universal. So what I am saying is precisely what I said in the prologue, and to answering your question, that I believe in the Church universal, or forming around the ancient, undivided Christian Church, that idea. You know, we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. They come to us from throughout history. And of course, you see that first codified in Hebrews chapter 12. But then you think about who's being talked about. Well, in part, the discussion is about those who suffered mightily for the Lord and are in the Faith Hall of Fame chapter, Hebrews chapter 11. So, thanks for pointing that out. My apology. I think I have the Nicene Creed as part of my DNA now. You know, it's kind of interesting, the memory process. You can memorize something, but as many who memorize the Bible know, what you have to do is take it from the short-term memory to the long-term memory, and that takes some repetition. So again, my apologies for that omission. Let me go back to the phone lines and talk to Victor. He's listening in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, CHRB. Hi, Victor.
Hello, Hank. How are you?
I'm just blessed to be on the broadcast.
thank you for taking my call. I was just wondering if there's any scripture you could lead me to in regards to addictions, in particular cigarettes, which are legal by law, but is there can you comment on that?
Yeah, you know, the thing about this, Victor, is that we are called to be stewards of both the physical and the metaphysical aspect of our humanity. That is a commission that we have as Christians so that we can best serve the Lord. And cigarettes have been proven beyond the shadow of a doubt to be very harmful to people. And therefore, I would say that there are means that you ought to seek out so that you can break that addiction. And we have a book by Joe Dallas, which I think is very helpful in terms of principle. But in general, I think it's important within the context of a healthy, well-balanced church to communicate to other brothers and sisters what you're fighting, what you're going through. Because Christian faith, Christian life is not a lone ranger process. I'm accountable to a church. I'm accountable within the context of the church. And when I fall, someone will pick me up and dust me off. And if I do those things that are harmful to my body or to my my soul, then they will give me guidance in that regard as well. The book that I'm talking about, which I am very, very fond of, in fact, I remember telling Joe, you got to write this book. It's called The Game Plan, and it deals with sexual integrity, but it also deals with the principle of breaking very, very difficult addictions.
Oh, that's The Game Plan.
That is The Game Plan, yeah, and you can find it on the web at equip.org. One of my colleagues just handed me a Bible and pointed to a passage. So we read that passage starting on verse 12. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Everything is permissible for me, but it is not beneficial for me. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. And that includes food, you know, food for the stomach and the stomach for food, but God will destroy them both. So the idea here in this case, the context has to do with sexual immorality, but again, we don't want to be mastered by anything. And obviously cigarettes are very, very difficult addiction to break. And so I pray that there will be those that help you do that, that you don't go this road alone, and be happy to send you The Game Plan. If you can afford it, you can get it on the web. If not, again, it'd be my gift to you.
Thank you, Hank. I will call again.
Thank you so much. Back, excuse me. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Jack next. He's listening in Sydney, New England. Hi, Jack.
Hi there, Hank. Privilege to be on the show.
Well, it's nice to have you.
I'm representing about five other men and calling asking about Ephesians 5:26. Hmm. Could you explain or add some color to the portion of cleansing our wife by washing the water with water through the word?
Yeah, I'm not an expert on that passage, but let me tell you what I get from that passage. If you read the context of this passage, you see that there is a parabolic aspect to it, the mystery of Christ and the church. And so the analogy has to do with Christ and the church. That's the focus of what's going on in the passage. And so marriage is a wonderful way in which we can understand the mystery of Christ and the church. Marriage is so emblematic of that. That's one of the reasons I was saying that my relationship to Kathy is, you know, is very, very significant. It is a earthly, perceptible, very real relationship that points me to an even greater relationship, and that is my relationship with Jesus Christ. In general, if you're talking about marriage is parabolic, as I just mentioned. It is for psychophysical pleasure, and it is also for propagation.
That helps wrap things up a bit. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much for calling. Let's go to Eugene next. He's listening in Freehold, New Jersey. Hi, Eugene.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Look, my question is, where did you find when Jesus was carrying the cross that he fell down three times?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. We did some research on that. And the research reveals that the Gospels record that Jesus carried his own cross, and then Simon of Cyrene was required by the soldiers then to carry the cross. If you understand what Jesus Christ went through in his passion, you'll understand why it would have been difficult for Jesus Christ to carry the cross. By the way, that's going to be the quote of the day. It is very, very moving. I'm hoping I can get through it without too much emotion. But the Gospels really don't say that Jesus fell, to the best of my knowledge, while carrying the cross. So the three falls of Christ included in what are called the stations of the cross. If you've ever been in Israel, in Jerusalem, you've probably encountered that firsthand. These were introduced in the late Middle Ages. So this is a way of identifying, in a Trinitarian sense, I suppose, with the passion of the Christ. It's certainly not only plausible, but likely that he fell. And the tradition is that he fell three times, but we don't know that with absolute certainty. There's a sense in which there's a communal memory of the church that passes these things on through the ages. And so the idea is a wonderful idea, but again, it is not buttressed by Scripture to the best of my knowledge.
Okay, because I couldn't find the article. I searched all over. Couldn't find it. It does say something about the Catholic have some parts in, but he fell down three times.
Yeah, well, it is. It has been traditional in the church now for quite a long time. That is the belief that many people hold. But again, it is a belief that has more to do with perhaps a communal memory that is passed down through the ages, or sometimes this is called a community memory, passed down through the ages than it does with what we find in the actual biblical text. I'm getting very, very close to a station break. I do want to mention that you can download CRI's Equip app. So if you want to listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast on your handheld device, you can do that by simply going to equip.org and downloading the device or the app. Again, it's equip.org/app on the World Wide Web. Again, equip.org. Also, we have so many resources available, particularly for those who want to think deeply about what they're going to experience in the next 3 days in church. You're going to experience the week that changed the world, as we have been experiencing during Holy Week. And now we get tomorrow to Good Friday. And every one of those days is significant, and most of us will spend a lot of time in church during those days. So when I come back, the quote of the day will be about the passion of the Christ. You don't want to miss it. We'll also be answering more questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
In his prophetic book, The Abolition of Man, C.S. Lewis forewarned that silencing moral language, subduing moral emotions, and subjecting humanity to moral and eugenic manipulations would bring disaster and death. The current issue of the Christian Research Journal looks at Lewis's warnings with a view toward the solution of not merely rejecting moral subjectivism, but also learning to speak and feel the truth of the natural moral law in love. Don't miss Adam C. Peltzer's article, The Abolition of Man, today in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal. To receive your copy of the journal as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. The battle for authentic Christianity has never been more intense. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has written a book called The Osteenification of American Christianity. As the title suggests, Osteenification is nothing short of the wholesale transformation of American, indeed global, Christianity. It is the prime provocateur of a seductive brand of Christianity that reduces God to a means to our ends and beckons multitudes to the table of the Master. Not for the love of the Master, but for what is on the table. You need to defend yourself and those you love against these insidious teachings. Please call today to request The Osteenification of American Christianity. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. C.S. Lewis was the greatest apologist of the 20th century, and he continues to serve as a practical role model today for winsome Christian apologetics. Donald T. Williams perceptively identifies several lessons we can learn from observing Lewis's approach. Other topics include the abolition of man today, three ways to teach your kids apologetics without them realizing it, how to approach apparent contradictions in the Gospels, and much more. To receive the current issue of the Christian Research Journal as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. C.S. Lewis said, "A hard heart is no infallible protection against a soft head. If a society becomes blind to the life-giving light of the natural moral law, it will in the end be led to death by the base animalistic appetites of a small class of powerful individuals." As a way of grappling with the decline of truth, the current issue of the Christian Research Journal features two articles focused on Lewis's work, showing us how to speak and feel the truth in love and why not doing so is a betrayal. To receive the current issue of the Christian Research Journal as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. And now let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. The quote of the day you can find in both my book, Resurrection, in my book, The Third Day, where I point out that the best medical minds of ancient and modern times have demonstrated beyond the shadow of a doubt that Christ's physical trauma was fatal. The quote of the day: "His torment began in the Garden of Gethsemane, after the emotional Last Supper. There, Jesus experienced a medical condition known as hematidrosis. Tiny capillaries in the sweat glands ruptured, mixing sweat with blood. And as a result, Christ's skin became extremely fragile. The same night, Jesus was betrayed by Judas. He was disowned by Peter, arrested by the temple guard, before Caiaphas the high priest, he was mocked and beaten and spat upon. The next morning, Jesus, battered, bruised, and bleeding, was led into the praetorium. There, our Lord was stripped and subjected to the brutality of Roman flogging, a whip that was replete with razor-sharp bones and lead balls, reduced his body to quivering ribbons of bleeding flesh. And as our Lord slumped into the pool of his own blood, the soldiers threw a scarlet robe across his shoulders. They thrust a scepter into his hands and pressed sharp thorns into his scalp. After they had mocked him, they took the scepter out of his hand and repeatedly struck him on the head. Now, Jesus was in critical condition. And then a heavy wooden beam was thrust upon our Lord's bleeding body. And he was led away to a place called Golgotha. There, the Lord experienced ultimate physical torture in the form of the cross. The Roman system of crucifixion had been fine-tuned to produce maximum pain. In fact, the word excruciating, literally out of the cross, had to be codified to fully communicate its horror. At the place of the skull, the Roman soldiers drove thick, 7-inch iron spikes through Christ's hands and feet. Waves of pain pulsated through our Lord's body as the nails lacerated his nerves. Breathing became an agonizing endeavor as Christ pushed his tortured body upward to grasp small gulps of air. In the ensuing hours, he experienced cycles of joint-wrenching cramps, intermittent asphyxiation, excruciating pain, as his lacerated back moved up and down against the rough timber of the cross. And then as the chill of death crept through his body, Jesus cried out, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And in that anguished cry was encapsulated the greatest agony of all, for on the cross, Christ bore the sin and suffering of all of humanity, and then with his passion complete, Jesus gave up his spirit. Shortly thereafter, a Roman legionnaire drove his spear through the fifth interspace between the ribs, upward through the pericardium and into Christ's heart. And from the wound rushed forth blood and water, which demonstrated conclusively that Jesus had suffered fatal torment. The quote of the day, only more poignant when you think about the fact that this is the very one who spoke and the universe leapt into existence. He's the very one who knit us together in our mother's womb. What a privilege to be able to love him and share fellowship with Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the Father, to share fellowship in the Trinity. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Aaron. He's listening in Antioch, California, on Sirius XM 131. Hi.
Hello, Hank. Thank you for sharing that the quote today. That was it's incredibly humbling to think about that. And
indeed,
I thank you also for your ministry and for everything that you guys do there. It's such an encouragement to me. I know for a whole lot of people. So thank you.
Well, my pleasure.
My question is, after the resurrection, when Mary encounters Jesus, in their encounter there, Jesus says to her, don't cling to me yet, or along those lines, something like that, right? Don't cling to me yet. I haven't ascended to the Father. And I can't understand what does he mean by that?
Well, the one thing he can't mean is that it was prohibited to touch his resurrected body, because obviously he asked Thomas, you know, touch me and see if it is really me in the flesh. And that's really in the same context. So what Christ is instructing Mary to understand is that he is not going to continue in the same relationship with her as she was used to before. He was not going to remain with her. That was past. But Jesus was pressing on. He was going to ascend to the Father. That's why we say in the creeds, and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again from there to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. So this is not a prohibition of touching the post-resurrected Christ, but it is instructing Mary that the relationship has changed, that he is going to be ascending to the Father. So there's a very dear and precious aspect to what Jesus is saying to Mary when you see it in that light.
Very good. Thank you so much. I appreciate that answer. Thank you.
Hey, you got it. Thank you so much for your call. Teresa next. She's listening in Ploukipski, New York, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Teresa.
Hi. I have a question about the giants and when they were, after the flood, where did they come from? If everybody was gone, where did they come from?
Yeah, really interesting, because the giants were men of renown, men of old, as the text actually tells us in Genesis chapter 6. And I actually wrote about some interesting things that we have discovered. I wrote about this in my book, Has God Spoken, where I point out that when you think about this epic story of David and Goliath, typically in modern translations, what you read is that Goliath was over 9 feet tall. However, Dr. Craig Evans has done some research in this regard and discovered that the Greek translation, these are actually his words, the Greek translation, the Septuagint for Samuel, says something very different about Goliath's height. It says that he was 4 cubits and a span. And if you know what cubits and spans are, you know that that is about 6 feet, 6 inches tall, which was, from what I understand, very, very tall for antiquity. And this has been actually underscored with the findings in the Qumran caves. So the findings that we have from the Dead Sea Scrolls suggest that the seemingly impossible height of Goliath was a result of a corruption of the original version of 1 Samuel. So this is one of those things that is ferreted out as new things come to light, and as people do properly textual criticism. It's called a science. It's the science of textual criticism. It's really comparing manuscripts with manuscripts, and through that, getting back to the autographa.
Okay. So it was a corruption of the book?
Well, no, there is a mistake in the text. So remember that when we talk about the infallible repository of redemptive revelation, we are not making that case for translations. We're not making that case for copies. We're making that case for the autographa, and the autographa emerges out of the information that we have, the copies that we have. And this is particularly succinct and true when it comes to the New Testament. No one has done a better job of elucidating that than Dr. James White.
Okay. Thank you.
You got it. Thank you for your call. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Miranda next. She's listening in Nashville, Tennessee on Bot Radio. Hi, Miranda.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for your time. My question is, I have a friend who I would say is a part of the Hebrew Roots movement. Have you ever heard of that?
I have heard of that, yes.
Yeah. You know, he's been sending me a lot of text messages about the Passover, and I'm getting the message that it's a commandment for us to follow the feast and festivals. And, you know, when I read the text that says to keep this forever, I know that Jesus was the Passover lamb, but that says forever. So I'm conflicted. Could you help me know what I'm supposed to receive from that, from that text?
Sure. The text is very interesting in light of the fact that Jesus Christ said, I did not come to abolish the law and the prophets. I came to fulfill them. And so what you have is the types and shadows fulfilled in our precious Lord Jesus Christ. So why do we not celebrate that which has been fulfilled? Because if we do that, Hebrews tells us that we are trampling upon the sacred blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So the covenants are the same covenants, but one covenant is better than the other. And the reason it is better than the other, and the reason we celebrate Pascha, is that Jesus Christ, his blood, is better than the blood of bulls and goats. I'm going to have to leave it at that. Great question. I've written about this in many different places, including my book, Has God Spoken? My appreciation to all those that pray for me and pray for the ministry, and for those who support the ministry financially as well. I want to wish all of you a blessed Friday as we think about what the Lord did so that we could be reconciled to Him for time and for eternity. And thanks for standing shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. Look forward to seeing you on the next edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith, answer Bible questions, and encourage Christians to watch their life and doctrine closely. To find resources to help equip you, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call us at 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. From the outside, Houston preacher Joel Osteen is charming, attractive, and his teaching, well, it makes you feel good. But the truth is, Osteen preaches a seductive and highly dangerous form of Christianity that's leading millions of people astray. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has written a book called The Osteenification of American Christianity. And it's why you must get your own copy today. You must be able to defend yourself with truth about what Joel Osteen really teaches. And this important resource arms you with everything you need to do so. Please call today and request your copy of The Osteenification of American Christianity, 888-7000-CRI. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Parents want their children to know what they believe and why they believe it, and to love the right things in the right way. But it's not easy to retain the attention span of children for a lecture in apologetics. Three ways to teach your kids apologetics without them realizing it. Other topics include how to approach apparent contradictions in the Gospels, C.S. Lewis, Defender of the Faith, and much more. To receive the current issue of the Christian Research Journal as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.